That woman looks just like Julie, except she has different hair color and a different nose, and she's not as big as Julie. She also doesn't have the same ears. Well, Beth, then she doesn't look like Julie at all, does she? Yes, she does, except her cheeks are a little fuller. I cannot tell you how many times we had this conversation in my family. It seemed that my sister Beth was convinced that every person she met looked exactly like someone she already knew, except the different. I thought of Beth's exactly like it routine as I reflected upon Luke's retelling of Jesus' parable of the dishonest manager. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. Be just like that man, except don't have the same hair color, don't have a different nose, and don't be dishonest. This is one of the more confusing passages that we have to deal with in the Bible. In the words of our own Katie Schroeder, I just can't get past commending the dishonest manager. Now, I was not thrilled to open my lectionary app on Monday morning and find this parable. In the words of one scholar, it is no exaggeration to say that the parable's meaning has stumped even the best and most creative interpreters of Scripture. All this is my clever or not so clever preface to interpretation. I'm encouraging you not to expect too much out of me today. I'm lowering the bar. Does that make me one shrewd dude? We'll find out. So let's look at what happens in this parable. Let's look at the storyline before trying to figure out what it means. The steward, or manager, depending on translation, is hauled into the boss's office because he was wasting the master's estate. That is, the steward's not very good at his job. He is poor at resource management, and he's not maximizing profits for his employer. In the words of a certain television show, the master tells him, "You're fired." But first, unlike the television show, he wants an audit. The master wants an audit. The text tells us that the manager is now worried about his future. This is a pretty reasonable response, because without his job, he has no safety net. There are no unemployment benefits in his culture. There are no food stamps. He would likely end up begging for crumbs to survive if, as the text tells us, he's too weak for physical labor. So he shrewdly cooks up a plan to create a situation in which folks who owe the master money will take him into their homes after he's fired. I know what I'll do so that when I'm removed from my management position, people will welcome me into their houses. He sets out reducing the indebtedness of each person who owes the master money. The steward figures that folks will be so grateful to him that they'll take him in when he's unemployed. Now, then we come upon verse 8, right, Katie? The master commended the dishonest manager because he acted cleverly, because he was shrewd. People who belong to this world are more clever in dealing with their peers than our people who belong to the light. And so ends the parable proper. Now, some interpreters suggest that the steward did not steal from the master. They suggest that, which is interesting when I read the words, they suggest that the discount that the steward gave on the amount owed was his own cut. In other words, he gave up his commission to ingratiate himself into the goodwill of others. In this interpretation, he is one shrewd dude because he uses his resources well. He uses what he has to procure a good future for himself. Well, it's a legitimate interpretation, except that, at least in my mind, it leaves two really unimportant questions unanswered. First, if the steward did not steal from his master and only gave away his own money, why does Jesus refer to him as dishonest? And second, if the manager is capable of good resource management, why was he fired for mismanaging the master's wealth? He must have known what would happen if he did a poor job. Now, others suggest that Jesus is drawing a parallel between what it is to belong to this world and what it is to belong to the light. That is, Jesus is emphasizing the differences between those who are concerned with the material rather than the spiritual, rather than following Jesus' teachings. This interpretation looks at the second half of verse 8 and reads the parable through it. The second half being, people who belong to this world are more clever in dealing with their peers than are people who belong to the light. This interpretation rings more true to me. The steward is still one shrewd dude, but he's shrewd for the wrong reasons. He's self-focused. He trusts in the material world for security, even going so far as to manipulate others to assure his future when his trust should be in God alone. This interpretation is more consistent with Jesus' other teachings as portrayed by Luke throughout the gospel and the book of Acts. Time and again, Luke's Jesus encourages us to trust in God rather than in the earthly. It's also more consistent with the thematic arc of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. This interpretation is more supported, bolstered really, by the parables that come before and after it, in that they deal with how those parables deal with how we relate to money and our material possessions. We'll have another one next week. In this interpretation, the ninth verse, where Jesus is talking about the parable after the fact, explains how we are to use our money. I tell you, use worldly wealth to make friends for yourselves, so that when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal homes. In other words, we're supposed to use our money for furthering the realm of God on earth. Our wealth is supposed to be used to help those who need help. Jesus implies that in doing so, we are co-creating God's vision of the kingdom. The suggestion here is that the faithful, you and I, fail to be as shrewd or as clever as the dishonest steward. Jesus is telling us to use our smarts just like the devious manager used his smarts. But unlike the devious manager, we're supposed to use our smarts for the realm of God rather than for ourselves. We are to be shrewd dudes for God. Now imagine for a second with me, what would this be like? What if we were as smart as those who are like the devious manager? What if we were shrewd enough to learn from the early church as portrayed in the Acts of the Apostles? Recall that the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. And a sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day, they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. And the Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. So what if? What if, instead of everyone having their own car, say, we were shrewd enough to share? Now consider, even Maggie's car, on which, by the way, she's put well over 20,000 miles since we moved to Condon, sits idle much more time of every day than it's used. Imagine if, like the bike share programs at many universities, we shared cars, lawnmowers, and maybe even computers. I don't know about that one. What if we used our resources shrewdly so that everyone had access and everyone had enough? What if rather than being shrewd at swords, we beat them into plowshares? What if instead of spending billions of dollars on machinery for war and for killing, we spent the same on techniques for growing food and assuring that every single person on this planet had enough to eat and good medical care? What would it be like if every single child grew up with preventative health care so that they missed fewer days of school? What if we refuse to allow the status quo in which 22% of American children live below the poverty line? What if instead of accepting that, what if we were shrewd enough to work together to change it? Instead of accepting the shrewdness of our politicians at assuring those who give them the most money get what they want. What if we were a shrewd enough church that we figured out a way to send more money to our neighbors in need than we do to the energy company? What if our building was used as shrewdly all the time as it is on Thursdays by the seniors and by AA several evenings a week? I mean, what good is an empty building? What if every single one of us were shrewd enough to pray for 15 minutes every day, listening to and heeding God's claim on our lives? Would we find a compelling mission that reinvigorated this church? I think so. I think we would. What if we looked at the struggles of the children and the adults in this community and shrewdly did one concrete thing every day to affirm that struggle? What would that be like? What if we were shrewd enough that people started accusing us of being the church that loved everybody or loved too much? What if we were as shrewd as Wall Street is, but instead of making billions for ourselves, we gave and we gave and we gave? What if we worried less about our own well-being and more about creating, co-creating with God the loving realm? What if? What if we lived as Jesus taught us? Wouldn't that be clever? Amen.